this is Amir. I play Aram on The Blacklist, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed.
Greetings, Blacklist fans. Special episode with one Mr. Hashtag Aram Durable himself, Amir Arison. Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and I'm glad that Aram Durable is still a hashtag. That's pretty cool. Yes, we talked to Aram / Amir about a lot of things for this episode. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that he does have a new movie out, available on Video On Demand right now on whatever your favorite Video On Demand device or service is, so be sure to check it out. It's 20 weeks. And for this interview, we're going to talk a lot about The Blacklist, of course. We're also going to talk about his movie in detail and why it was important to him to make the film and what the film is trying to say and some other stuff. It's really a really touching film, and I hope you guys will definitely check it out.
Yeah, Aaron and I saw it, obviously, and it just... so moving and emotional. We've actually been talking to Amir about it for probably 2 years now when it was first actually started to being made and then got premiered at the LA Film Festival last summer. So to finally see it actually on VOD, super exciting that everybody gets to watch this piece because it's a tough subject, and but it's a great story at the same time. So definitely check it out. iTunes, Amazon, and wherever else you get your video on demand.
I already said that. I don't. How many times are you going to say it?
I said the specific services that I endorse. That's what it is.
That you're okay with?
I literally grabbed it on iTunes before I left work so that it would be done downloading by the time I got home. That's how excited I was to see it.
All right, so what we're going to talk about is The Blacklist. And we have a couple listener questions throughout, as well as we talked to him about the recent events with Samar and him and Liz and their shenanigans and what is to come of The Blacklist. Now, obviously, he's not going to give us any spoilers, but there is some tantalizing. Would you call it tantalizing? Tantalizing going on.
Oh, yeah. We aren't even going to tell you about it now because it's that good.
Let's go ahead and get into it. This is Amir Arison talking about his infamous role as Rom on The Blacklist.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Amir?
Hey. Good to be back. Great to be back.
It's a few times we talk to you now.
Well, I talked to you guys a bunch when you guys came to the 100th episode. I saw you guys in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But I think this is my second Golden Spira podcast interview.
That is true. And we're glad to have you here because you've had some awesome stuff happening in the course of the show here in the back half of season 5. Let's talk about the big stuff first. You and Mojan teaming up to get some steamy scenes. It's a year later. We don't know if they're married, together, engaged, living, like... it was all kind of weird stuff when you guys came back after the break from Christmas, and then you got this whole ring thing going on. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and kind of how the two of you have been playing off each other this season?
Sure. First of all, I will say you haven't seen nothing yet.
Mm. Ooh.
The writers have done it again. I never saw it coming. I'll just say this. When I read one of the scripts between now and the finale, I read, and I was, like, bawling.
Oh. Even more so than when Tom died?
Tom died. I was like, woohoo. No, just kidding. No. Actually, oh, my God, that's actually not true. No, actually, yeah. I did cry when I saw that episode. I didn't cry when I read that script, but I, like, teared up when they had that music, that cover of Sound of Silence.
Oh, so good.
That whole sequence, ooh, that was good filmmaking, huh?
Yeah, it was great. That was great.
So back to the question at hand. Yes. So yeah, we started this season and they were together. You know, we had the kiss at the end of last season. And this season, it was interesting. They were not, you know, I know the writers didn't want to do they break up, they get back together, they break up. They're just like, what does it mean to just, you know, have them just be in a relationship? And it was just like a new given circumstance. And in some ways it was interesting to play. It actually took, for me, you know, the will they, won't they, the flirt, the tension is always something good to play as an actor, and it kind of wasn't there anymore. We were just like a couple, and so suddenly we're just working together, and everything's like a copacetic. I mean, she had that one line earlier in the season, or when Liz is like, how's Aram? She's like, blissful, domestic, you know, boring or something. So that was the only clue we had into their private life, and they were just, you know, most of the stuff was, you know, Red, Liz, Tom, Garvey, Blacklisters, and so forth. So, So then, you know, I found that, so after sort of Tom wasn't on the show anymore, I think some real estate opened up and they leaned into a little bit of that stuff. And it ties into all these things. They have, of course, master plans. And we all of a sudden this get the script and this Ram wants to give her a ring. I think he wanted to give her a friendship ring or something. I don't know how naive can he be about giving a ring and thinking it doesn't mean anything, but actually he was right in thinking that, because she didn't think anything of it except that it was a nice thing. Like they actually were right for each other and knew what the other one would be thinking. It wasn't until he started self-doubting, the thing he's best at, when Wrestler said something, and then he goes to Liz, and it got all twisted up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think he knew what he wanted. And I remember when I read that script, I remember, is this clear? Like, I wanted to give her a ring, and then I was afraid to give her the ring because Wrestler said she'd think it's an engagement, and I'm not ready to be engaged, and I don't know what that'll mean. And then when I asked Liz if she thinks that, Liz is like, oh, she'll know if she wants to marry you if when you get the ring, you'll know. And I was like, wait, you mean, like, she'll not want to marry me, like, now or, like, ever? So suddenly now I'm thinking, if she doesn't want to marry him in that moment, then she might not want to marry him forever, and he's completely beside himself or confused. So it's literally exactly what he wanted happened at the end from the beginning of the episode, but now he went down this total rabbit hole via Wrestler, via Liz, and via his own self-doubt and confusion. What if she had said, yes, I want to marry you, but he wouldn't have been ready? I feel like it was Aram is setting himself up to always be sort of nervous and disappointed and glasses. He was always the glasses half full guy, and I found that he started becoming a little glasses half empty around the time that the ring debacle started.
Yeah, Aram doesn't have good luck with women, right? That's always been the thing. Never had good luck with women. He always goes for the bad girls.
That's true. That's a good point.
And I want to ask you a question, kind of off topic a little bit, because you do a lot of these junkets, you do a lot of these interviews and whatnot to promote the show. Do you ever, as an actor, wonder why people even ask you questions about what's coming up and what's going to happen and everything else? Because it seems like in every interview you get asked those questions, and everybody knows you can't answer them. So I don't. What's the purpose of that?
I don't know. I would turn that question around on you. Why do you guys ask those questions?
I would never ask that question. That's why I don't understand why people ask, you know, hey, what's going to happen in the finale? Well, here, let me tell you what happens, and then you don't even have to watch it. I mean, I just...
Well, I could conjecture that, I don't know, I'm not the interviewer, but I could conjecture that when they do it, it's like they're speaking on behalf of fans, what fans want to know, and someone's got, you know, it's like, you know, the fans have a voice through you to have a direct line to be like, hey, can you tell us a little, can we squeak out a little something? And also, like, remember when you guys were there at the 100th episode, you know, we were told, like, we can talk about Nathan Lane. There are certain things we can share. There's going to be an upbeat episode. So there are things like there's things I want to share without sharing.
Right.
Like, okay, so last episode you saw Samar give me back the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has repercussions in this coming episode. And then you can't even imagine what's coming in the episodes after that. Unbelievable. Hardest I've ever worked on the series.
Really?
Episode 521.
Wow.
That'll hardest. Be exciting.
I'm now shooting the finale. I'm still exhausted. I'm like trying to get this. I am still exhausted from 521.
That's
most challenging, exciting, daring, frightening episode I've ever done on television. I don't know how it'll turn out. 520 was no walk in the park either. Oh, and 519, not for me so much, but 519 is also a monster. And now we're shooting the finale. And as you know, oh, and the finale at the end, ooh, is a good turn.
Yeah, we have heard that. We have heard that.
So how is that for some teasing without saying anything?
Very well. Yeah, very astute. I like it. I like it.
That's why they gave us the week off before these last four, so we could rest up and be prepared. Eat a lot of Wheaties, I guess.
I'm pretty excited about these last four, I got to say. I mean, these are...
So are we.
It's a good home stretch here.
Every year, they really bring it home. I mean, I haven't seen a season yet where they didn't bring it home, so I'm not worried about it at all. All right, so let's ask about the training then. Aram, before the coma incident, he wanted to be field trained. And then when he comes back, mm-hmm. we still haven't heard whether or not that actually occurred.
Well, Cooper did send him to go get the witness. Unfortunately, the witness was stolen right mm-hmm. from under him. We thought from Garvey, but it actually was Red. Samar, I think it was the episode where it was the serial killer, copycat killer, and Martha Plimpton, when Liz was being used because she was the profiler, and then Wrestler and Samar were on the case. So they needed someone to go pick up the witness, so Cooper sent me. And it was a nice given that, you know, I'm one of the other core task force members that was available. And to me, that was just like, oh, there's the proof in the pudding that he's been trained, that mm-hmm. he's being entrusted to go escort a witness. And then they had him escort him again into private custody, and that's when he was. But if you saw in that situation, they were overwhelmed. You know, there was four vans that circled them. And so, you know, Aram felt horrible and pretty embarrassed about it, quite honestly, which was challenging and also fun to play to a certain extent. He jumps out of the car and he draws his weapon. I mean, he's never really done that before.
True.
He jumped out of a car and drew his weapon to see, but there were too many vans and he didn't want to shoot the witness. And you're going to see some stuff. No, you'll see the training definitely in effect. He might have even have gotten some driving lessons. he might even know how to drive. So there has been off-camera training, which you say, I mean, he's still the same guy, but he knows the protocol. And of course, certain situations might draw on his sort of, I don't know if you call it bravery or risk-taking. And so, just like I would say as an actor prepares, mm-hmm. you rely on your preparation. So Aram is relying on his training.
So you're like Aram Bhan now.
Aram Bhan, yeah, Moshtabai.
We should say Monica Stolfo will be excited in the Facebook group because that was one of her questions, is if we're ever going to see you take the reins of Tom and be the stunt driver at all.
So I don't think I'll be as awesome and fearless and spy-esque as Tom. Aram is still Aram. I can't remember if I'm in 419, but I'm in the field 420, 421, 422. I was in the field 418, 417. I know because I've been working a lot more days.
Love it.
And, I don't know if that was in field training or not, but Aram was willing to get hit by a bicycle, be on a bicycle and get hit by a car.
That was an interesting.
For the good of getting lit for an undercover operation that wasn't even sanctioned by Coop, so Liz could steal the files on Garvey.
Yeah, but you and Liz are like buds. You know, you'll do anything for her.
It's true. He also was motivated to get Garvey too, very much. Ever since, you know that even though the witness was taken by Red, you know, he faced off with Garvey. Garvey threatened to kick his ass, and he's like, no, guy, we gotta stop this guy. He also killed Tom and,
yeah,
you know, was going to try to kill a witness. So, no, this guy's got to go.
Can I just say, you're one of the few actors I know that remembers the minute detail of the show when they're recounting it. I mean, and then that's not a dig in any way. I mean, you know, actors, you go from script to script to script and you're trying to learn your next one. But you always remember, like, the really fine details.
If you ask me the name of the blacklister for an episode, now that we're in the middle of, like, end of season five, I would be fuzzy on what was I would remember that, like, but Aram's journey or big plot twists of the show, like, yeah, that these were big events in Aram's life, just like they were in, like, a big event in your life. If I'm shooting a gun, whether I'm as an actor or a character, I'm going to remember it.
Is it very personal for you?
I care. I don't know. Isn't that how you get to make the work good? You have to try to kind of, you know, people, something always people say, oh, when you play a role, you know, you've got to go to that role. You've got to go to be Aram. You've got to go. No, the key to acting is not like wearing a mask or lying. The key to acting is like taking off a mask and bringing the role to you, bringing him as close to you. That's when it gets personal and real. And I think there's different strokes for different folks and for different situations and different mediums, different, you know, comedies, dramas, but certainly for Blacklist, like, even if it's like run of the mill, you know, solving case, you know, it's act one or act two. It's not act five or six. No one's in severe danger yet. We're just trying to, you know, put together a case here, but people have been killed and this is a serial killer or something. And I'm just solving something or so forth. I like to think, like, what about the families of the victims, or what about the people, or the justice, or the threat to the environment, or whatever the situation may be? And how would I really? That's a huge responsibility. It's a huge responsibility that FBI or law enforcement have, and certainly a secret spy task force has, getting like the biggest baddies ever. So, you know, I don't think Iran takes it lightly, and I don't take it lightly.
Well, I guess with that, then, one of the questions George Nauman had was, now that you're field training, you're not taking it lately, and you're kind of involving yourself in this character, would you ever like to see yourself as one of the numbers on the list? Like Dembe, like Tom, like Kaplan?
Ooh, wild question. Never, ever thought about that before. But if I were, I'm sure the writers would come up with something cool. But look, Dembe was on the list, but Dembe was never a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Tom was on the list, and he's kind of like a good guy, bad guy.
He said goodbye. You heard that. It was like a Freudian slip. He said goodbye, good guy, bad guy.
I love Ryan, and I do miss him, actually. Oh, I can't say that either. Nope. Okay, no, I can't say that. Well, you know, he got a pilot, right?
Yeah, we did. Yep.
He got an NBC pilot. He's top lining a medical drama. He's going to be Meredith Grey for the new NBC Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. What were we saying? Oh, this question about a number. So that's great. And Mr. Kaplan also wasn't a bad guy. She was just took a different path than Red for, you know, tried to do what she thought was right, you know, in terms of protecting Red and protecting Liz. It was just in betrayal against his way. Anyway, so, you know, they've been given numbers just because they're sort of incredible sort of tech, but they're all sort of, they've all been either spies or worked in the underworld. Like, so I don't quite see Aram or, I really don't see Aram, Cooper, or Wrestler really being a number, just because we're such, you know, we're such law enforcement, we're at least we're not aware of it. I could see Samar, because she does things very black ops, and she was with Mossad, and she throws guys off buildings when no one's looking, and Liz is obviously, all of her ties are red, but they're all kind of connected to sort of the underworld, and Rom really isn't, at least at this point. Maybe he has like a twin brother. I could play him when the show officially jumps the shark.
don't do it. Don't do it.
I could be his evil, smarter twin brother.
Oh no, twins. Know. Twins are where I'd lose it. I just lose it.
Yeah, they're the worst.
We've got a couple more fan questions. One comes from, I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, Dave Metzger. He says, long-time fan here. Has it always been difficult being so damn handsome and good at acting, or did you eventually come to peace with it? Thanks, Dave.
Let me just share. Dave Metzger is one of our writers, and me and him share a very parallel story. I was a minor player, and he was a writer's assistant. And I then became a recurring character, and he started getting hired to write a lot of Aram's technical stuff, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure it was correct. So as the team went to Aram to kind of solve and answer kind of technical things, the writer's room was going to Dave to answer the technical things that Aram would do. So I kind of feel like Dave is the Aram of the writer's room. And he's bearded and wonderfully nerdy and handsome and sweet, and I love the guy. And for the first few seasons, we would even like talk to each other and ask what we would think about certain things. And he was one of my first allies, actually, before I knew, you know, what this journey would be. Back to his question. Well, I can say that the reason I play Aram is because I'm super neurotic. And I constantly feel like I can be doing a better job. So, no, I'm not at peace with anything. I'm still stressed out. In terms of handsome, I will say this. My girlfriend says I'm a nice guy because I have a fat kid's heart. And I was a fat kid growing up. So I look in the mirror and all I see are love handles.
Oh, Same here, man. I totally sympathize with that.
What was that, Dave? Dave, I'm going to get you back.
Well, here's a serious one from Marta Bolden. She wants to know, what is the one thing you wish fans could understand about the making of The Blacklist that you can share?
Oh, it's not glamorous. I mean, you should see, we're on set today, and it's April. It's freezing. We're outside. There's wind blowing. There's sort of like people walking through the shots. Because of the location where we were shooting, the campers were like, you know, a quarter of a mile one direction. Then the catering and the wardrobe truck is a quarter of a mile another direction. They need vans, busing back and forth, crew members. Oh, they need a wardrobe piece running back and forth. Camera, they can't fit inside the van. It is like just to get a single basic scene in a surveillance van today. And then Diego had to run to the other unit because they were doing an insert unit. So we had to get like a body double to play his shoulder and take an angle from the side when they were doing a over the shoulder on my shot. I mean, people have no idea the amount of time and planning and manpower and work it takes to make one moment, much less one scene, much less one episode, much less a season. So I would say there was a stunt that I was involved in episode 521 that took weeks for them to plan, and it's probably going to be 30 seconds on your television.
Wow.
Weeks and dollars and manpower and risk, and you'll know afterwards. We can talk about it afterwards. We'll tweet about it. You'll know after that. After you'll know which one I'm talking about after 521. Coolest things I've ever done in my life. I took like 1,000 pictures that day, which I can't release right now.
That's cool.
I'm just glad to hear that Diego's such a method actor with all the running that he's doing. So fits right in.
Well played. Well played.
Can we get his hair to move yet? Because seriously, it hasn't moved all season. I keep watching it. I watch it like a hawk. That man's hair is just like a statue.
Did one of you guys shout out that Aram had a line about that?
Oh, yeah. That was I was literally drinking something in that moment. And I snorted and like all the liquid came out because I was like, you just totally said that. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's all right. Someone asked me if I improv that. You asked me that if I improv that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah, on Twitter. Yeah, that's right.
That was all. That was all Metzger. No, I don't know who it was in the writers' room, but it was them.
Is there any improv in the show?
Not exactly. I do a little bit. Usually, like, on the tags of scenes, if there are lighter scenes, you know, or even sometimes heavier scenes. Like, what I mean by the tag is, like, okay, the scene as written ends. Like, if we're on a phone call, let's say Red hangs up on me, you know, and the scene ends, click. And they haven't yelled cut yet. I might be like, hello, Ms. Reddington. Okay, if you can hear me, I'll call you right back. Something like, we'll do stuff like that, you know. You know, I'll give you an example. Or you remember the example with the bike accident, and me and Liz teamed up to go steal the files in the last one that aired, 518.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that whole thing. It was set up to intercut and everything. And after the bike accident, you know, there's this whole kind of riff on, you know, what if he texts and drive? And she's like, he won't because he's a rule follower. I was like, how do you know? And then Aram is trying to riff to get him to not, you know, turn around. So he's like, no, pray with me. And he goes, pray. And Aram's just kind of off the top of his head, just be like, let's pray that I'm alive and that you, or something, and that you weren't texting. And he goes, I never text and drive. And the line scripted at the end of it is like, who knew? As we see Liz sneak away and that the mission was accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of the scene. They didn't yell cut. I'm looking at Liz. I see her scurry away. He's looking at me. The scene's over. And I'm just like, I feel better. You know? And they kept it. I actually kept going. I was like, oh, feel better. Should we exchange insurance? Actually, I'm going to go. Like all kinds of stuff. And this last time they kept the, I feel better. And you can actually watch. I smile really big because I think I'm kind of laughing that I'm doing the situation we've solved. It's good. I think I'm a little bit laughing at the whole ridiculousness of what I'm saying at that moment. And you can see it. So really only in tags and so forth sometimes. Like I just shot a scene. It was another scene on the phone. I was on the phone with Liz and Ressler. And we were talking about a case. And I got off the phone with them. And I just kind of kept talking to myself. And that's how the whole role started. I think you guys know that. When my first improv was at the end of, it was in Wujing, third episode of season one. I sent Mira and Wrestler, I gave them a location. They went off and they just ran away. And, I just said to myself, thank you, Aram. You're welcome. And they still didn't yell cut. And I started laughing and they still didn't yell cut. So I was like, go get them. And I'm just like laughing. And I'm like Aram is laughing at himself for talking to himself, but it's really just me laughing at, like, I'm just being ridiculous. And they kept it. That's how my whole character started. So every once in a while I do that. But it's depending on time and the tone of the scene, I would say 1 out of 5 times it makes it in.
We'll ask you one more from the Blacklist side before we switch to some cool new news that you got going on. Shannon absolutely adores you and Megan together. She loves your scene so far. Any more Amir and Megan working together as Aram and Liz in the back four?
Yeah, that was really fun. It really gets quite lighthearted between us. It's like brotherly, sisterly. I really love those scenes as well. So we were working together at 517, 518. I'm trying to think what happened at 519. There is some things I do with Liz and some other people in the field. There is not exactly like one now that you see at the end of that episode that she you know spotted who Garvey was with. We saw at the end of that episode she made contact with her.
Mm-hmm.
Remember with the woman that says, do you remember what she said? I'd rather you say it. I don't want to say it if I mess it up.
Yeah, she's Lily. That's what her name tag says on her shirt.
A.K.A. Liz's sister,
Jennifer.
Daughter.
Yeah, allegedly Jennifer. The
allegedly Jennifer.
Correct. So now she kind of has her, and that's kind of her. That's a big point of interest for Liz. And that's not really, Aram's not really so aware of that. So, yes, I do things with Liz, but not exactly in the same kind of like fun, caped, silly kind of fun caped duo like we had. But me and her have a lot more work together this season. There's some group scenes, but we kind of have this like, actually, yeah, in 520, begins in 520, there's this interesting dynamic that happens between 520, 521, and a little bit in 522. 520 and 521 really, yeah, no, 520, 521, 522, where there's like this kind of like an emotional kind of thing that we kind of have a back and forth about, which is not really funny, but it was great to play. It's interesting. It'll all make sense when you see it.
Oh, I have no doubt. All right, Amir, I'm ready to talk to you about your new movie, 20 Weeks, if you would love to talk about this new flick. On video on demand and limited release, so it's in some theaters too, right? It's also on video on demand.
Yeah, it was for 1 week. It actually ended. It's 1 week theatrical release, just ended today.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's been available on demand and is currently on various platforms, Amazon Prime, iTunes, I don't know all of them, but if you look up the movie or the website, they have all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's nice to see it finally can't come out. I shot it almost 2 years ago. It made its world premiere at the LA Film Festival last summer, and then it did the festival rounds, and then it just had its release, and it's a movie we made for no money, but very personal story, and really wonderful artists, and it's not an easy movie, but I'm quite proud of it.
And super well acted, I might add, because for the first time, because we've obviously met in person, we know you well, and all I wanted to do was literally just punch you in the face, because I hated you so much in this movie.
A couple times.
The whole time, or just in certain moments?
Just a couple moments. No, just a couple moments.
Three quarters of it, maybe, for me.
You know what?
Three quarters for you, Aaron?
No.
Aaron, I think, was a little different.
I'm totally... Here's the one thing, and I want to, for listeners, I do want to explain what it is. It stars Amir Arison as Ronan, and Anna-Margaret Holliman as Maya.
Yep.
They are a couple. They're newly in love. They've been together about 11 months when she finds out she's pregnant. And there is some conflict before they really get moving with the relationship and with the pregnancy, because Maya doesn't know if she wants a child. And at about 20 weeks, which is pretty far along, it's near 6 months, she comes into some complications which could result in them having to choose whether or not to terminate the pregnancy, because there could be a birth defect, there could be some other serious medical issues. So it becomes a question of what do you do in this situation? You have a couple, you have a baby that they could terminate the pregnancy and spare the child possibly a life of hardship, or do you just take your chances and love the child as it is, you know? And there's a lot of questions that come up in the movie, even financial, health insurance. How do we pay for this child? How do we pay for the care of this child? What are we going to do? We don't make that kind of money, as well as the life questions that come up. And
so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the movie in a nutshell. So tell
I just want to jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Want to jump in. It's couched in a sort of a medical baby pregnancy, but it's really all about a couple. It's actually not about the baby. The baby is a catalyst for the communication and lack of communication and miscommunication and trying to look out for each other's feelings and sublimating their own feelings. So saying what the other one wants to hear and then doesn't want to hear. And it's like a slow crumble. And with the time jumping back and forth, watching sort of the highs and lows of a relationship, which is sort of very appealing as an actor to mm-hmm. kind of build an entire world with somebody like that. And I also don't think, I've also heard in terms of just because it's about, you've mentioned terminate or not to terminate based on the challenges that the fetus, the baby may or may not have and how severe they will be and so forth. I'm very wary to say this word, and the word abortion doesn't appear in the movie, but the movie is not pro-life or pro-choice. It's really about a couple. A lot of pro-life people have found that the movie is pro-life, and a lot of pro-choice people have found that the movie is very pro-choice. It depends on what you bring to it. But that's another reason I didn't think the movie was trying to take any kind of political stance. It was just talking about the personal challenge of facing this dilemma and how it manifests in a couple at this time in their relationship.
Lovely writing, too, by Lena Pendekar when she was putting this out. I mean, as watching it, Aaron and I were even having arguments back and forth on text messages. It's just like, because I felt like I was more on Maya's side and Aaron felt like he was more on your side.
Well, that's great. That to me is the sign of a good piece of work. That's great. And I actually, there's scenes I shot where I was like, oh God, Ronan's in the right. And then when I watched the movie, I was like, oh my God, you asshole. that you know? And there are other times where I was like, oh my God, she's being annoying. But then at the same time, I'm like, but she has every right to be. You know, I found my allegiances as an audience member shifting once I saw the movie a second or third time. And also, I knew that, without giving too much away, you know, his journey is not upward. It's kind of downward. And I really had mapped out for a long time with Lena on the phone, because it was very – because, you know – It's not what happened to her or what happened to her husband, but it's inspired by a lot of events
mm-hmm.
with very different outcomes, very different endings, and very different relationship things. But it was very clear that she was writing from her point of view, and she wrote Maya's point of view very clearly to me on the page. And there were some things he said and did. I was like, originally there was no mention of his family or the financial situations or and you know, she was like, oh, that's really good. And we talked about it. She's like, I'm so happy to have a guy actor that is into it, and that, you know, we almost like workshopped Ronan's role. And at the same time, what it did is it put us on the same page. So when we got to work, we showed up to work, we were like in lockstep. Oh, you remember when I talked about that? She's like, remember this? And I was like, oh yeah, right. But really, really wanted to work hard, since I know he makes some really hard to stomach decisions, that there was a human emotional logic to get to them, including communication problems. And there's this thing that I had been dealing with in my own life. It's like when you work on taking care of somebody else so much and taking care of somebody else's feelings, after a while you can begin to start lying to yourself, or what I like to call sublimating yourself. And if you sublimate yourself too long, then you're going to crack. And then it's almost like that's going to be the beginning of passive aggressive. You can become passive aggressive to them or to yourself. It can be very ugly. So one thing I will say is that they both, by the end of the movie, are at their truth, which is somewhere they weren't at for a lot of the movie. I've gotten very esoteric, and I hope I haven't given away the movie.
No. You're fine. I really, you know, when Troy and I were debating, you know, because we had different sides and different points of view, and I totally get both of your characters' points of view, honestly. And throughout the movie, that shifts, that paradigm shifts quite a bit. What I liked most about it is that it feels like they're both people. You know, it doesn't feel like it's a movie. You know, it feels like you're actually watching two real life people that have faults up and down, and they're going through this struggle. And the concept would be very much an internal struggle for me as well, and for various reasons. And I think you guys did a really good job of touching on that. Is that That's why this movie was awesome. so important to you? Because you've been talking about it for a couple of years, and it's finally out. Why was this one so passionate for you?
You don't get offered roles like that are completely, and it was really like, I mean, Maya's on screen 99% of the time. I'm on screen like 95% of the time. You don't get roles where like almost every frame you're working towards something. That just doesn't happen. Even James and Liz aren't on screen the whole time. It's, mm-hmm. you know, spread out over guest stars and blacklisters and task force members. So to get a role like that, and it's that sort of emotionally challenging and rich, and, you know, on the page, it was sort of sexy, and it was sensual, and it was ugly, and it was sweet, and it was funny, and it was awful. I know some people personal in my life that have had, you know, either had to go through a miscarriages or things of within that realm. And, you know, it's, I actually did a play once about a young baby that had passed, and it's something that's actually more common than people realize, but nobody talks about. So this was also an opportunity to kind of explore that. I mean, I want to do a rom-com too. I want to have fun and I want to entertain, but, you know, the nitty and gritty of being an artist is getting to do something like this where it makes people talk. You go to uncomfortable places. It kind of changed some of the things I thought about. It made me learn a whole lot more about women go through just in basic, just in pregnancy, much less a problematic pregnancy. So, yeah.
Well, the movie's called 20 Weeks. You can check it out at 20weeks-movie.com. We'll also link to it over at the post for this interview with Amir, theblacklistexposed.com. We know you are super busy, and we should probably let you get going because you got a big day tomorrow finishing up season 5 of The Blacklist. So great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be back. Thank you. And we'll talk soon.
Always good to have Amir here chatting with us about The Blacklist and especially his new movie, 20 Weeks. Again, 20weeks-movie.com. If you want to check that out, and again, video on demand in order to watch it, and we'll have a link up in the post at theblacklistexposed.com. And we are just super excited for the last 4 episodes of season 5. I can't believe it's come to an end. We started out with that New York groove way back at the beginning, and everything was seemed light and fluffy, and man, it sure sounds like things are not so light and fluffy for these last 4, Aaron.
I'm pretty pumped, and they're talking a lot about what the cliffhanger is going to be. So I'm really, that there's going to be a cliffhanger at the end of season 5. So, and I think, what did John say? It's the bravest one they've ever done or something like that? Boldest one they've ever done?
It is, because if they don't, you're going to go punch somebody in the face if they don't tell you who's in that duffel bag.
Oh, why didn't I ask him that? Well, he wouldn't have told me.
He would have told you. You asked him that question. Why do people ask that question? Don't ask that question.
I'm a victim of Helm design. Yeah, so... Did you understand why I was asking that, though? I mean, I always wonder that when they do these junkets, it seems like everybody tries to ask them, like they're just trying to trip them up or whatever. And I get that they're doing it, they're facilitating fan questions. But in my mind, I'm like, ask them stuff that they can answer. You know, I mean, that they have to dance around that so much. I don't know.
Well, I get it because we get those questions from the fans in the Facebook group when we post it up when we do one of these interviews. And I'm like, why did you ask that question? Don't waste your chance to ask a good question.
Oh, it was very fun. It was always great to talk to him. He's one of the, you know, the most laid back actors I think I've ever talked to, and I really respect and appreciate that. He's also one of the nicest guys I've met in Hollywood. So very glad to talk to him again. Hope we'll do it again soon.
And definitely make sure you check out at Raina the Rescue on Instagram. Pictures of Amir's dog. They're so cute. Make sure you check that out.
We didn't talk about his dog. Shame on you.
Oh, I just plugged it now just to make sure that we got her in. So
does the dog have its own Instagram?
The dog has its own Instagram. There's even one post out there where Raina had this really cute like black and red flannel scarf thing. And Ryan Eggold was wearing the same black and red flannel shirt. So he like posted up like who wore it better. It's awesome. Definitely check it out at Raina the Rescue.
That's pretty funny. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for this special episode. We will be back next week because we've got the Final Four coming, and I think we're pretty excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah, really, really excited. So that'll do it for this week. Make sure you follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, join the Facebook group so you can have the conversation. I mean, we're having a lot of chatter in the Facebook group. So if you have not gotten over there yet, make sure you are in there for these last four episodes. We did make sure we set up the group appropriately, so therefore no one will get spoiled by accident in the general public. So it's all safe to come on in and share everything you want to theorize about the Blacklist, because, man, there are a lot of theories going around.
And we also want to plug our other podcast, Beyond Westworld, which has already started back up. If you're a fan of Westworld or you dig that show, and if you aren't watching it, start watching it, because it's amazing. We started that show back up, Beyond Westworld. It's also part of Golden Spiral Media. You can go to beyondwestworldpodcast.com. or your podcast app of choice and check that out, because we're going to be following that show all season long.
Until next time, I am at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. You can follow me there.
I am at Aaron Smirks. You can follow me there on Twitter. Yeah, I just changed it. I like it. You like it?
That's why I went there, so you could plug your Twitter for you. See how I did that? I teed you up.
People kept telling me my other one was too complicated. It's like K-A-Z underscore what the hell's going on? So I just changed it. Aaron Smirks.
I don't know what an underscore is.
Yeah, that's the problem. Nobody could find it. Aaron Smirks. There you go. Because I do.
You do. It's fun. Cool. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.